Yesterday was a big, big Yankee day here on the station, certainly on the show. Aaron Boone was in studio. A couple things I want to react to about that. Boone was fantastic. But I say it was a big Yankee day because of what Sam and I spoke about with the Yankee skipper. But I think even maybe more than that on some level, what the owner said about the finances of baseball. I want to play this to you. This is from Hal, and this was yesterday. I got to play this for you, then I've got to react. Go ahead, Dove.
It's difficult for most of us owners to be able to do the kind of things that they're doing. Now, we'll see if it pays off. They still have to have a season, relatively injury-free, for it to work out for them. And it's a long season, as you know, and once you get to the postseason, anything can happen. We've seen that time and time again. So we'll see who's there at the end and if they're the ones.
Okay, so you hear that, and at least what I've heard from many of you, not all of you, many of you, the Yankees aren't what they used to be. Look at Hal, not spending money the way it used to. Now, when you say that, you're hearing it wrong. And really, I think it's a gross, you know, misportrayal, if you will, of what Hal's really saying. The finances, I know that nobody wants to really get inundated with that stuff because the Yankees, like most of these teams, make a gazillion dollars a year, and nobody wants to hear them cry to the poorhouse, which is not what Hal's doing there. Hal is just being very honest, and he's setting up a very distinct difference between what he has access to financially and what the Dodgers have financially access to. Now, I'm not feeling sorry for the Yankees because for all these years, there was this massive discrepancy between the Yankees and just about every other team in baseball. And quite frankly, there was a direct correlation to what the Yankees spent and the amount of championships the Yankees won. That's changed a little bit. The business of baseball has changed. The evaluation of talent has certainly changed here. I think when you hear that, that is very easy to rip. I got no problem with that because he's not wrong. The Yankees, I believe Hal is worth himself. I want to say, last I checked, right around $1.2, $1.3 billion, whereas the Dodgers, their group, that's a financial group, they're worth about $330 billion. So, I think anybody at this point that is just railing on the Yankees, I think, quite frankly, and if you're a Yankee fan, now, if you're railing on the Yankees and you're not a Yankee fan, well, then you just railing on the Yankees because you're railing on the Yankees. And by the way, that's okay, too. That's acceptable. But if you're a Yankee fan and you're disenchanted with the financial direction of the franchise, honestly, I really think that you're off base. I respect your opinion, but I just vehemently disagree. I don't think it's an accurate portrayal of what's going on. Now, see, the Yankees right now could have a 400, let's just throw out a crazy number. Let's say the Yankees got Bregman. Let's say the Yankees did one more thing in addition to what they've already done and in addition to Bregman. And let's say the Yankees entered the 2025 season with a payroll of $418 million. All right, let's just say that. 418. Wacky stuff. Wacky. You know, over the threshold, you know, incredibly penalized for the amount of money they're spending. Well, number one, I think we all know this. It assures them of nothing, all right, number one. Number two, very much in play that they would still have to do something at the deadline when they really look at what they have after 120 games or so, or 100 games roughly, and determine what the next course of action is to make that final push for the World Series. See, I am of the mindset, and I will admit, it took me a while to change this. It really did. It took me a while to change because, like many of you, you know, when all you do is win, you become certainly accustomed to it, but also I think you become comfortable the way you win. And the way the Yankees won every year, it would go out, even though they didn't win a World Series, you know, with Giambi, but they got there. All right, so Giambi's free. Let's get Jason Giambi. Oh, CC Sabathia, let's get him. Oh, Burnett, all right, let's bring him in. Oh, we got Matsui coming over from Japan. Lock him up. Like, those days are over. and maybe in my own mind, I have been a little quicker than many of you to understand that. And that's not a knock. That's not me saying I'm a better fan or I'm a more astute baseball observer than you. I understand the game has changed and it is far more unpredictable. It is far more random. So you guys could go nuts. Honestly, you guys could go nuts about the Yankees spending, I don't know, $40 million less than the Dodgers, or the Yankees getting beaten out by Steve Cohen by, you know, what, you know, the Yankees had to do an extra year, basically for Juan Soto to make the same amount of money. You can have fun doing that. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have fun actually watching the Yankees, who I can promise you, at the end of the season, will be right there. And I can also promise you, as they win, I don't know, low number, 91, 92 games, high number, I don't know, 96, 97 games, I can assure you that despite having a sizable gap to the Dodgers in payroll, when it is time to evaluate the roster, and if there's a glaring need, whether it's third base or if Jazz is over third, it's second base or whatever else it could be at some point in June and July, I promise you the Yankees will be in the mix of everything that they need to be in the mix of, which will once again give them a chance to get to and win the World Series. You guys got to go. You got to get over this Dodger stuff. You got to get over it. It's getting old. It's getting tired. It's getting played out. Not changing. You know, and really it assures the Dodgers of nothing. Now, of course, it increases the odds, but I think that this, you know, this gross spending, and if we don't spend more, we can't win. And I just say we, whether it's the Yankees or the Mets, oh, go out and get Alonso and go out and get a pitcher and go out and get Soto and go out and get this guy. You know, there are limits to the amount of money that teams are willing to spend. And I think the Dodgers have jaded that view. And you know what I say? Good for them. You don't need to play that game to try to win. You don't. Now, you can't be the Pirates necessarily. You can't be the Reds. But last time I checked, the Yankees aren't. All right, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the fan. Sal is out. Oh, my God. First of all, and we'll do more about Sal later. Me and Hoff are going to have a lot of fun at Sally's expense. But I heard more about this eye surgery from my partner for the last 3 months than I did for my grandmother complaining back in the 80s when she used to have, she would hold the magnifying glass because she couldn't see so she could look at the seventh race at Aqueduct. That's what she, that's what I used to hear. I mean, he sounded like an old woman the past couple of months. So I know he really was a little nervous, actually, but he's going to be great. He'll be good to go, and we'll have a little fun with Sal. But good luck, partner. All right, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. On the fan inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Remind you, the Town Fair, with Town Fair, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Stan is in Westport, Connecticut. Stan, oh, what's happening?
Hey, BT. Listen, I'm a Red Sox fan, which a lot of people know, but I respect the Yankees and I fear the Yankees. And I'm glad you're alone today just because the Yankees have kind of been lost in the shuffle this offseason with news and everything. And secondly, the Yankees can definitely compete with the Dodgers. Okay, first of all, the Guggenheim Group is a big asset manager, yep, like private equity type thing. Second of all, you know, they're not unlimited. The Yankees, you point out very well, are managing things real well. Here's my beef with the Yankees and the Yankees, not the Yankees themselves. Respect them and fear them, as I said. Yep. The Yankee fans, remember last year, 25 games over, how many people called or posted on X or YouTube, fire Boone, fire Cashman, force Hal to sell. I mean, it was insane. They're 25 games over 500. Are you kidding me? That's what the Yankees have to, you know, fans have to chill out on. It's ridiculous. Wait, they made the World Series.
Yeah, you know, I got you. I get you, but excuse me. It's not just getting to the World Series, as you know. Thanks for the call, Stan. It's about winning the World Series. That's what the Yankees are about. That's what the Yankees have always been about. Now, I'm not going to slap the Yankee fan on the wrist for over the years complaining about maybe some, and I don't want to sound like a jerk when I say this, but some dead weight kind of holding down the roster. Like, we just got tired of watching Aaron Hicks play. We just got tired of watching Joey Gallo trot out to the left field and strike out, you know, every time he got up. We got tired of watching, and we still are. Who knows? Maybe he has a little renaissance this year. I'm not banking on it. We're getting tired of watching DJ LeMahieu, you know, grind through seasons and miss 60, 70, 80 games and stretches and just no longer resemble a functional major league player. Get a little tired of that. You know, that we are in alignment on that. That doesn't mean that, and I'm not saying this by any stretch, that whatever the Yankees do well. I don't believe that. I think the Yankees do a lot of things well. I think the Yankees do, maybe outside of the Dodgers, as much well as anybody in baseball. And I just think there's been a little bit of a misrepresentation as to who they become. Yes, it's Hal's different than George. Understood. Get over it. I can't take it anymore. I really can't. you know, all the phone calls. Now, we just got to shut it down when you guys call me and Sal with this. Oh, back in the day, George got it. George was different. So was baseball. Click. Like, I, you know, but I hear other complaints. I hear other conversations. I see other social media threads. You are living in an antiquated world. You know, you've got to understand. It's like, think about this. I'll give an example. So take Iona, and I'm not picking on Iona. Iona's very good school, good basketball program, good history. I got love for Iona up in New Rochelle. I always have, right? Even go back to Jeff Rulin, always. So Iona. Let's take, say, Iona and their NIL fund for basketball, and let's contrast that to Kentucky, okay? There's no comparison. I mean, hell, at this point, you can really contrast it to St. John's, and we'll get to St. John's later. It just continues to roll. St. John's now spends a lot of money, but for effect, I'll use Kentucky. There's no comparison. And in that scenario, Kentucky's like the Dodgers, and Iona's like the Reds or the Pirates. It is a very imbalanced system. Boone, we talked about this. I think he's right, and I said this to Sal weeks ago. I think we are staring at a massive work stoppage. I think the business of baseball, I think it's broken. I don't think that you can rectify this in one swooping, you know, collectively agreed upon a set of rules. I don't think you can. I think that there's going to be a long, long malaise, and it's going to stretch out, and I think it's going to be incredibly burdensome, and it's going to basically break the sport. But when it comes back, it comes back, provided it comes back eventually, I think baseball's got a chance to be even stronger. But right now, you just got to deal with it. Like, forget about it. And understand, like I do, and I think you should as well, you've got to stop pining for the past. And I don't want to get too preachy here, but when you constantly fixate on the past, or you constantly look at somebody else's backyard, genuinely and generally both, you're going to lose sight of what you have. Now, if you've got a dilapidated home and you've got, you know, 9 dead trees in the backyard and the concrete's busted and you don't have a very aesthetically pleasing backyard, I don't blame you. You know, look at the backyard. You know, I talk about my arborvitaes. Look at your neighbor's backyard and it's okay. They always say you shouldn't, you know, don't be envious of your neighbors, but if they got a nicer backyard, well, then go do something about it. Fix up yours, all right? But the Yankees' backyard's beautiful. It's beautiful. All right. Dodgers have a little bit of a bigger pool. All right. Dodgers have 720 more, you know, square feet, more property space. All right. Dodgers pay $3,000 more in property tax. What does it mean? You still got to play 162, and really, you still have to win. And I'll tell you what, like last year's Yankees team, and I really mean this, if they would have played the Dodgers in a World Series 10 different times, now the script may have been different. Judge is not dropping the pop-up, and probably Torres finds a way not to let that ball trickle into the outfield, all the other stuff, right? The play at first base with Rizzo and Cole, not happening. But I'd still guarantee that they lose 7 of 10 series. You know why? Not because the Dodgers spent more money. They spent more money wisely, meaning they had better, well-rounded players who can run, who can throw, and who can field. So when Juan Soto wasn't cutting off balls down the line, guess what? Mookie Betts was. When balls were trickling all around the infield by the Yankees, guess what? Tommy Edman was making sure that wasn't happening for the Dodgers. So, yeah, they're better. Yeah, they've got a few better players. They're beyond reproach? No. You've got to become a better baseball team. And by the way, this applies to the Mets too. This applies to anybody that wants to unseat the Dodgers. You don't have to spend the same amount of money, but you better not be deficient in multiple parts of the game. And the Yankees were. And they got absolutely exposed. Frank's in White Plains. Frank, what's happening?
Yeah, listen. Dodgers, they spend the money and they got the players. That's the thing. They spend a lot of money. But look the players they got.
Yeah.
The Yankees, they spend the money. And really, when you look at it, they got it proved, but not to match with the Dodgers, even with the money. Yankees, they have a lot of money, but they're not going to spend it. George Steinbrenner used to spend a lot of money.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
Here we go, Georgie.
All right. Cue up the violin. We got the old Georgie conversation. I just want to get the band going for you, Frank, while we talk a little George. Go ahead, Frank. Go ahead. Got the band going for you.
He's done. He didn't want to spend the money.
No, he didn't want to spend it all. Yeah, no, it's funny. It's very interesting. Thank you for the call, Frank. It's interesting. I was just doing a little prep work before the show, and when I was looking at the expenses for already committed for the 2025 season, I was stunned. The Yankees were right there with the Sacramento A's. You're right. He don't want to spend anything. He throws around nickels like manhole covers. Come on. You see what I mean? Now, what I will say, and this is what I've continued to, and I will continue to say this, I've already said it, they got to spend better. So years ago, not to beat up this, you know, this old story or bring it up, but it matters and it's pertinent to today. It's relevant to today's roster. So the Yankees decided to go and get a masher who was an all-time masher at that age in his prime who didn't do much else. That was Giancarlo Stanton with a $300-plus million contract. You know what the Dodgers did? They went out and they got Mookie Betts. Right around the same age, right? Just about. Maybe Betts was a year older. Betts, superior on the bases, superior arm, superior defensively, higher batting average. He plays more. I mean, so it's not about the unwillingness to spend money. God, if you guys don't know this by now, geez, I can't help you. I can't help you if you don't know this by now. Hal, I've got zero issues with Hal. Well, let me take that back. If I have one issue with Hal, this is actually a fairly big gripe, and I've also said this as well, but I would like to see Hal, and to Cohen's credit, Cohen has shown a willingness to do this more than Hal, get rid of dead weight a year earlier rather than a year later. You know, we shouldn't have to have conversations for months about the Hickses and the Gallows and the DJ LeMahieu's. I know Stanton was a beast in October, but, you know, 1 through 162, he's an issue. Guys like that. Like that, that is where it gets tiring, and that's where I admit, I say to myself, man, if I own the Yankees, I know it's easier on the air than not than when you actually do it, but, you know, I'd find a way to, I'd make it disappear, and I would just become more, I'd be a little less financially solvent, but I'd have a better roster at that point, which would increase the odds of me winning. So yesterday, that's what I say. Yesterday was a very, very big and fun. We had a blast with Boone. Aaron Boone's a great guy. He really is. I've always defended Boone. That's funny. I'll tell you this. If we get a quick break, come back, get these calls. 888-808-1019. By the way, it looks like the Pete stuff. Pete Alonso, well, the Mets might be back on the old hopper. I mean, when is this saga going to end? Pete, can you just, God, come on, dude. Make a decision, man. Hey, you're good. You're not this good. Anybody else getting tired of talking about Pete Alonso? You know, like he's freaking Ken Griffey? Come on already. Jeez. Come on. But anyway, we hung out after the show yesterday, and it was awesome. It was me and Hoff and obviously Sal and Booney and our boss Ryan Hurley, Dave down the hole as well. Really, really cool. Had some good food, talking a little shop off the record. And I had to get home, and Sal had to lay back to go over to SNY, so I go down, I take the elevator with Boone. And we probably stayed outside a good 15, 20 minutes just talking. And before we were leaving, I said, hey, listen, I said, you know, sometimes I'm hard on you on the air, but, you know, it's never personal. He goes, no, I go, he's walking away, I go, but I've always been harder on Cashman. And I have been. And the truth of the matter, this goes back to the discussion today, you know, like, if there's anything to criticize the Yankees on, and this all goes back to what Hal said yesterday, it's not that they don't spend enough. It's not that they don't spend a lot. It's not that the Yankees aren't competitive with all their peers. They're no longer reckless, all right? They are no longer foolish with their money. They got to be better in some other avenues, like player development. But the money, I got no problem with the way the Yankees spend their money. I truly don't. I don't. Bam, bam, bam. All right, it's 10:28 back on the fan. BT and Sal. First song of the day is a good one. Attaboy, Dolby. 888-808-1019. Hop is taking credit for the song. Very good. Very good. All right. So, by the way, speaking of music, before we get back to the call, Sal is out. He is resting before he gets his eyes sliced. And I was joking. I hope those eyes are good because I need him to very clearly see just how different Juan Soto looks without Aaron Judge behind him, but we'll do that a little bit more later. So speaking of music, we did, I will do it tomorrow as well without Sal. It sucks that he won't be here for it, but we'll have some fun with it. Power Up, which is a lot of fun. And we did top five sitcom themes a couple of weeks back. And then last week we did top five movie soundtracks. I got to tell you, Hoff, there's something wrong with me. So I am an unabashed, unapologetic. I don't hide my love for Grease. I love it. I will always love it. It's the best, right? But it's getting a little stupid now. So I'm working out the other day. What's her name? Not Am. What's her name that you talk to? Alexa.
Siri? No.
No, that's what I was thinking, Siri. I said, Alexa, put on Grease music. Oh, God. So now I'm throwing it on when I'm working out. And this is, probably should admit this, but I will. Now we have actually morphed into Grease 2 soundtrack.
Now you've gone too far.
I know.
No, that's too much.
That's not a good look,
is it? Could do the, listen, if you want to tell me, hey, miss, listen, I got Grease on repeat, I can live with that.
Yeah.
You go Grease 2, I don't even know what exists on that soundtrack.
You probably don't find out because you're going to lose whatever respect you have for me. it's going to erode to zero. But I will say, for those of you who do know Grease 2, the song that I keep going back to, and it's also the visual, and this does matter, Lil' Cool Rider. With Michelle Pfeiffer on the ladder. I'm just going to leave it at that. All right, BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. Oh, the Dodgers spending so much money. Boo-hoo. Listen, the Ohtani deal, 10 years, $700 million, basically all of it deferred, got it. Yamamoto, 12 years, $325 million. All right, Yanks and Mets tried, didn't want to come here. Now it's Blake Snell for 5 years, $182 million. Then Hernandez to 3 years, $60 million. And you get Tanner Scott, 4 years, $72 million. Then you get Tyler Glass now. For about $140 million over 5 years. Then you get Will Smith to retain him 10 years, $140 million, $150 million. Then you win the Roki Suzuki sweepstakes. I mean, it's getting ridiculous, right? I understood. However, enjoy it now because I really think after the 2026 season, I think it's Armageddon, and I think it's going to be maybe the most pivotal point. I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but the finances are so distorted. This might be the most pivotal moment in the history of baseball. I know that sounds hyperbolic. I think there's a lockout. I think there's an extensive one, which would suck. I hope that I'm 1,000% wrong. But really, what I'm talking about here is I think many of you missing the mark with how the Yankees spend. And I'll give you a little more, another nugget here before we get back to these phones. I would feel worse about this. If the Red Sox were doing this, or Toronto, or the Astros, the fact that the Dodgers are in the National League, I will admit, does play a bit of a role in my acceptance of how the Yankees are handling their offseason. Now, if I'm a Braves fan, if I'm a Mets fan, if I'm a Phillies fan, if I'm a Giants, Padres fan, maybe I process it a little differently. Not entirely, because I'm very aware that there's a randomness in this sport, unlike any others, but I would say to the Yankee fan who is constantly criticizing Hal for not being George, number one, I'm not saying you're totally wrong, but give the man a little breathing room. He brought back Judge. He paid Cole. He traded for Soto. He offered him almost $800 million, and he got to the World Series. I mean, come on. Come on. And he had the highest AAV for Yamamoto. What you could get on the Yankees for were the dynamic position players. One was supposed to be Volpe. This is a massive year for Volpe. Massive. You know, Dominguez, been hearing about him for years. All right, let's see it, man. And if we don't, well, that's a different level of criticism. All right, let's get back to you guys. Paul's up in Buffalo. Oh, the Bills. What's happening, Paul? BT and Sal, how you doing?
I'm doing well, BT. If you want to talk about misplaced criticism of the Yankees, the most misplaced critique of the Yankees for 5 years running is they spent bad money on Giancarlo Stanton. I don't care if he misses 100 games this season. He is paid to show up on October 1st with a golden baseball bat. And October 1st, he shows up with a golden baseball bat. You want to talk about wasted money? How about $55 million to go 0-3 in three World Series starts for the two bums at the top of our rotation? Mm. Bums. Wow. Garrett Cole doesn't know what an out is past the seventh inning. He has no clue.
I don't
He's
know.
Not Phil, an well, hold on. He's Paulie, not Paulie, like
hold
an
on, Paulie, Paulie. Let's not splinter into a couple things. I think you're off with the Cole. This is not the year to criticize Cole. I mean, if they were catching
really?
Pop-up.
What, did he go 0-2 in the World Series?
Did you watch the games and did you realize
what
happened?
I did. I watched him cry to get out of the first game.
Okay.
Like a bum, like a chump.
Wow, Paulie's coming. It's like old school.
This is not a new criticism for me of Garrett Cole. He's been a chump since he put on pinstripes.
He's been the best Yankee pitcher I've ever seen in my lifetime. is what he's been.
Really? Yeah. I take El Duque over him every day of the week and right, twice well, on
two,
Sunday.
For 2 years? Okay, great. Who else?
Andy Pettit, yeah. Roger Clemens, yeah, Mike Mussina, David Cone.
Paul, hold on. And I love Pettit. He should get a lot more Hall of Fame love, right? But how many home runs did he give up to Andrew Jones in Game 1 of the World Series? He gave up 12 runs. He got shellacked by the Diamondbacks in the 2000. Let's not be in 2001. Don't be selective. Now, of course you could criticize Cole. That you can criticize whoever you want. But let's not gloss over the other imperfections of other players. See, this is the problem. Like, everybody thinks Gerrit Cole's going to have a 0.00 ERA. I mean, listen, I understand the Judge stuff. Judge can't hit a buck 40. Come on, big boy. You got to get going here. But his call was about Stanton. And Paul's first point was he gets paid to show up in October. No. He gets paid to show up in spring training, literally. And he gets paid to be there opening day. And he gets paid there, in theory, to be available for 162, which for most players is not achievable, so I'm not going to hold him to an unfair standard. But can you play 115 regularly? Can you play the outfield? And I love Stanton, but to not criticize him is ridiculous because his limitations really complicate what the Yankees can do as an organization. You know what I mean? And that's part of it. Yeah, he's an October hero. That's 1 month of the season. There's no doubt. 888-808-1019. Let me get Sid in Riverdale. What's happening, Sid? Sid.
Hey, how are you?
All right, Sid. What's going on, buddy?
Well, I'm a big Yankee fan. Been a Yankee fan since the early 80s. And, you know, when this narrative with the old George, you got to remember, too, George did spend... recklessly, too. So it's not, you know, I don't know how you feel about that, but I just feel like Hal does what he has to do. Cashman does what he has to do. I mean, they spend money. It may not be the best to all what Yankee fans, you know, but I got to, you know, we got to also remember, though, we've won championships from 96, 98, you know, I cherish those years.
Sure.
I cherish, you know, seeing perfect games and no hitters, the dynasty. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm content that we make the playoffs every year.
Whoa, hold on. That's where you and I are going to have a little splintering here. Don't lower the bar. The Yankees are still supposed to win championships, and it's been a minute. I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoy having 163rd game and beyond, but I admit I do kind of take that for granted. Like, the Yankees will be in the playoffs this year. I fully believe that because the Yankees are in the playoffs basically every single year. And if they're not, well, then you're going to have a new manager, you're going to have a new general manager at some point, and things are going to get shaken up big time, and they should at that point. The Yankees will be a playoff team. They're always a playoff team. That's not enough. You want to win. I mean, you know, sitting there watching, and I was in the stadium. I just graduated college, but... you know, watching, I couldn't even really see Charlie Hayes catch the ball because I was in the upper deck and I was obscured, so I just reacted to the crowd. But hearing Charlie Hayes catch that ball, that doesn't do anything for me in October of 2025. It doesn't do anything for my son, who's 10 years old, or my daughter, who's 8, who are Yankee fans who have never seen them win a World Series. But I think here's another example. You get this a lot. Just go sign Bregman. He's a really good fielder. He's clutch. All right. Well, first of all, they're not going to. Number two, I don't think that they should for like the 6 or 7 years that it's going to require to sign him. Not when he's going to hit 13 or 14 home runs in that ballpark. And look at the advanced numbers and look at how this is very easy to do, whether it's Baseball Savant or millions of other databases that can tell you exactly every single ball that player X hit during the season and how it would translate in other ballparks. It is, at this point, it's like as simple as batting average. It's nothing like fancy. If you're a baseball fan, it's very easy to find. And he would not hit at Yankee Stadium. Does not show a propensity to go the other way, which is obviously favorable to righties. If you can go to, you know, right center and then down the line, he's not going, you know, dead center. That's not just not his style. And left center is a monster out there in Yankee Stadium. So many are clamoring for Bregman, and this is where I think you guys just lose perspective. Yeah, it'd be great for a year, catching some ground balls. I got it. But And then where are you in June when he's sitting, you know, 271 with 8 home runs? You're calling me and Sal, and you're complaining. That's what you're doing. I would rather not sign him and reevaluate at the trade deadline and get the perfect piece that they need to get to and win the World Series. All right, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal and all the fan. We'll do a next hour 3RQ. Sal is out, but Hop's going to help me with that. Maybe a little change in the Alonso situation. And there is a pitcher that the Mets absolutely must try to trade for. Want to get to that as well. And little Johnny's reaction from last night. St. John's is absolutely blistering hot. God, this is the one. Oh, God. Oh. Hop, are you watching the video here?
Yes, I'm staring at it right now.
Can you at least, you know... I mean, not make me look like the tool that I probably sound like.
Well, the song makes you sound like a tool. Okay, but the video, I wouldn't put the music on to watch the video. Let's put that way.
That is a byproduct that I'm willing to deal with. Yes, yes, it is. All right, BT and Sal. Sal is having surgery today, so we wish him the best. And he's off tomorrow as well. And we'll do 3RQ, do a little St. John's later. So before I get back to the phones, 888-808-1019, obviously some football as well. We sit here January 29th, and I thought that, you know, when the Mets got Soto, for sure, and when the Yankees made their multiple big moves, and we know what they were, if you asked me then, at the conclusion of the Soto situation and the Yankees moves, ending with Goldschmidt, if you asked me, hey, are the Yankees going to do something else? And this did come up, obviously, you could check it as a matter of record. My response generally was, probably not. I don't think they're going after Bregman. If anything, maybe a little ancillary piece. We talked about Arias a little bit, but I did not think that the Yankees would make another big move, okay? Now, the Mets, I thought that they would. I thought for sure that they would make another move, and they have not, outside of, you know, retaining Manaea. Now, the Padres situation is very, very worth monitoring. They're in a situation now. So as of today, their competitive balance tax for 2025 is $246.8 million. The threshold's $241. So they're above it. And that obviously comes with penalties, and that's not anything the Padres want to deal with. And it's also above last year's payroll, which was a little less than $228 million. Now, it's not confirmed. It's more assumed in the industry that they're going to try to shed some money to make some moves, which leads us to a trio of players. We've talked about Dylan Cease. We've talked about Luis Arias for both Arias for the Yanks and the Mets, a little bit less with the Mets. We haven't really talked much about Cease, but now we got to start talking about Michael King. Hey, by the way, did the big Hurls just get a look at that? Did he just get a look at the video? Huh? Did Hurls just get a look at the video? Is that what was going on?
No, we were looking at the cast of Grease 2.
Oh, the cast of Grease
2. He's locked in. He knows everybody. Shooter McGavin.
Oh, he's a fan too. Hey, see, Hurley knows talent when he sees it.
Yeah, I don't know if this is talent.
Adrian Zemed was the lead like John Travolta. Anyway, are you a fan of Cool Rider though, Hurley? Yes, he gives me the thumbs up. That's right. Hoff, you better get your act together, man. You're a disaster with this stuff. Thought you had good musical taste. So the Yankees and the Mets, and this is more for the Mets. Absolutely, much more for the Mets. They must be on the horn with San Diego right now. Like, you have team, I promise you, like the Braves lost Max Fried. You don't think the Braves are going to mess around to try to get their hands on Dylan Cease or Michael King? Now, Michael King, and it's not peanuts for the Padres because right now they're over the threshold. And again, they're going to get penalized. I mean, he's asking for, I think he filed for $8.8 million, which is nothing. The guy's a stud. And the team counter with 7.3. And they've got their hearing coming in a couple of weeks. Now, are you telling me that the Braves don't try to jump in on this? Or maybe the Orioles? Or maybe the Red Sox who are loading up on some pitching? Or Toronto who could use some pitching? I mean, there's teams that are going to be knocking on the Padres' door for multiple players. Why in the world are the New York Mets not at the front of the line? I mean, how was this rotation? And you can really put it, excuse me, in any order that you want. How about a little starting five of Manaea? Let's go with Michael King. Let's go with Senga. I mean, a healthy Senga. Manaea, King, Senga. And then whether it's Peterson, for Montas, for Clay Holmes, who's going to get a look, and I think he's going to actually be a pretty decent starter. Are you telling me that there's not an avenue for the Mets to turn right now an average but interesting upside rotation to an ultimate strength? I think that there is. See, that's what the Yankees did. The Yankees lost Soto, and while they addressed some other needs and areas of deficiency, Bellinger a better base runner, better fielder, blah, blah, blah. We know the moves. They went out and they got a stud, the best pitcher on the market, to add to an already beast of a rotation. Why in the world are the Mets not in on Michael King? They gotta be. They have to be. You're not going to resign Pete, and even though that seems to be rekindled a bit, we'll get to that later, you have to at least call and see what they want for King. All right, 888-808-1019. Let me get John and Bayonne. What's happening, John?
Oh, BT, I was really wanting to call you about the Boone thing, but that guy that said that Cole was a bum in the playoffs. Well, what the heck is he watching?
Not the guy that I've watched. I know that Gerrit Cole got lit up against the Red Sox a couple of years back. I trust Gerrit Cole, and I respect him as much as anybody.
Well, so did Clemens, and so did anybody. You've said it, Patty. No. Okay, so listen, it's a team sport. It ain't just a pitcher sport, okay? It's not golf. But I loved the show yesterday, you and Booney. It was fantastic, and it wasn't any great to go out with a manager, because I did this with Frank Howard.
Okay. Oh, wow, Big Frank.
Yeah. And we were driving back from my sports bar. I was driving back to the hotel, and I said, Big Frank, I said, let me ask you a question. Who was the best manager I ever played for?
Huh.
He said, Billy Martin. I said, Billy Martin? Yeah, that's right, the Detroit Tigers. He goes, yeah. He said, win or lose, we go out drinking, and that little son of a bitch drink me under the table.
I believe it, John. Yeah.
Things like that. That's what really you want to talk about, but you can't talk about it in the air because that's, you know.
Well, I mean, you can have some fun. I mean, you know, it's a little bit of a different day, and Boone's a married man, and Boone's got, you know, a bunch of children, and Boone's going home after the game, and it's just a different world. I mean, you know, Billy Martin and some of these old-timers sucking back seven whiskeys at Elaine's or wherever they're going in the city and getting into a fight, Copacabana Club, you know, with his boys. I mean, those days are over. It's a very different world. It's a more civilized society in some ways. It's also a lot more boring in some ways, too. I love Aaron Boone. I think he's a great guy. And I've defended Aaron. Not blindly. You know, there's things he does where I'm like, what are we doing? I didn't like him going to Nestor in game one of the World Series. I said it the next day, and we talked about it yesterday. Sal brought that up. But, you know, when you... and I didn't like the way he handled, at least publicly, Gleyber Torres. And we talked about that as well. The entire thing is on our YouTube page, Free Odyssey app. He was in here for an hour. I got to be honest with you, though. And Dove, I want your answer. You've been at the station for a long time. Aaron Boone is a third-generation baseball man. The premise of him coming in here was the baseball card game. And we knew we'd talk shop and, you know, get into the World Series and to the 2025 season coming up. But the main thing was one-on-one. Me versus Boone, Sal versus Boone, pick a pack from the 80s, let's roll. This man's dad played with almost every one of those guys in the pack. Be honest, are you surprised we beat him?
Oh, yes.
You are, aren't you?
Yes. By the way, when you guys play all the time,
yeah,
you didn't do as well as you did yesterday. This might be...
This is where you... Of course, you take it the wrong direction. See, that's not what you're supposed to say. Well, you're supposed to say, you see, this is why you're the show killer. Why would you say that? There's people hearing this for the first time saying, wow, those two guys, they crushed Booney at the... They must be unbelievable. Don't tell them we're not unbelievable all the time. Why would you say that?
Truth hurts sometimes.
No, the truth doesn't hurt. We're awesome.
Yes. However, you were more awesome than usual.
I did not think. I'll just speak for myself. I'm not going to use the word nervous because I don't get nervous with that stuff. I get maybe a little bit too amped up, sometimes a little dialed in, too much. I wanted to win. I knew I wasn't going to get waxed. Like, there's no way he was coming into our arena and blasting us. I knew it was going to be tight. I didn't necessarily expect to win, if I'm going to come clean. I mean, this guy's on the field watching these dudes take batting practice. I mean, the more I think about it, hey, Booney.
Babysat for their kids.
I know. He told us that hysterical story. He's a good dude, man. And I'm happy he got to the World Series. And I did ask him, again, we talked so much about so many interesting things. And I guess I believe him when he says he doesn't really process it this way, maybe down the road when he's done as the manager of the Yankees. But, you know, up until last year, no Yankee manager had won as many games without getting to or winning a World Series. And that's a fact that was undeniable and irrefutable until this past October. So I think on a lot of levels, I think Aaron Boone needed that. Now, it would have been nice for the team to win, but I think the Dodgers were just better. And I don't think Cashman gave him a very, very great team. I don't. It was a flawed American League, and it was a flawed Yankee roster. But to get there, forget about the fact that, yeah, I'm a Yankee fan growing up, I was happy for Boone. I truly was. He's a good dude. Hopefully we'll get him back on. And by the way, he says, yeah, leading up to the interview or the conversation, you know how many times I said to Sal, hey, we do a bet, right? We got to play for something. And every time I'd say, hey, if we beat Boone, I think we got to take batting practice on the field. Or he's like, no. And I'm like, what do you mean no? I guarantee he'll let us do it. And of course, I bring it up to Boone. He's like, yeah, we'll let you come down and have a little long toss on the field. Like,
you put him on the spot.
I didn't put him on the spot.
You put him on the spot. If he said no, that would be impossible.
But I knew he would.
He didn't really say yes.
Yes, he did. I talked to him after. I did, actually. I actually talked to him. I won't say like that part, but excuse me. Listen, there's an old adage. You don't get what you don't ask for. Am I right or wrong?
Dude, you walk in everywhere like you own every place.
Nah,
you walked into MLB Network last year and you had the wiffle ball bats out.
I did.
And started hitting homers.
I'm a little worried if we do it this year, which we're trying to. I don't know if I can swing because of this damn shoulder. Oh, God. But anyway, I will make because we love to do bets on the show. I will make a bet with you, Hoff. And I know, and I'll put Sal in here, even though he's not here. You and Sal, and we'll find out what it's about at some point. I guarantee that we will be on that Yankee Stadium grass. So I don't know if we're going to hit. We will have gloves, and we will be having a catch. Guaranteed.
Okay.
You don't believe so?
No.
Okay. Well, then you're not invited. go to Queens.